Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Arden here with another live post show. Thank you for tuning in. And of course, this is following WWE Payback, the 2016 edition, live from Chicago, Illinois, at the Allstate Arena. And it just finished, literally, you know, just finished like 3 minutes ago. And within those 3 minutes, I had to make a serious transition from my bedroom into another room in my apartment because I had to charge my laptop and I had to get settled and I had to clean up because, you know, after work, I had to get some snacks for the big event. You know what I'm saying? So I had to do it. And I'm here. I'm here talking to you guys. I'm here ready to go. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this event. You know, this event was deemed as the first big pay-per-view of the new era, you know, ever since Shane McMahon started running the show and we have had less authority. And it's really been described, well, I shouldn't say described, it's really been defined by Shane, you know, Shane's return and the excitement from the crowd and new superstars, new matchups, things like that. So it's really just been described by that and defined by it. And tonight, once again, looked at as the first big pay-per-view of the new era. And you just had to wonder going into Payback, how was it really going to live up to that statement? You know, because it's Payback, it's a May pay-per-view. It's the first pay-per-view post-WrestleMania. So how are you really going to, you know, really put on a good enough show? Especially, you know, again, John Cena's still out, Seth Rollins still out, Randy Orton and others. But I just think when you look back at this show, I think you're going to get a very solid show. I think that's what it came down to, the fact that this was a very solid show. I mean, to start off with what was, I think, the pre-show matches, Kalisto versus Ryback for the United States Championship and Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin. I actually didn't watch neither match because I was on the train home from work. So I didn't watch neither match. But from what I was seeing on Twitter, the Kalisto-Ryback match was pretty solid. You know, I heard they did their thing. I heard Ryback really got the crowd to really get after him with his comments, I believe, regarding CM Punk and other behavior and things of that nature. And I think, personally, I'm upset with the company because I really feel as if, man, Kalisto should have been booked so much better with the championship. And booking guys like Kalisto should be easy because guys like him are very entertaining to watch. You know what I'm saying? They're very entertaining to watch. You know the guy put on good matches. Why not make it look as if he's a credible champion? Like, that's all you have to do. Like, give him a couple more good matches. Let him shine on the regular shows. You know, don't just relegate him to tag team action. And I think for Ryback should easily be at a point in his career where competing for a mid-level belt is quote-unquote worst-case scenario, but he should really be doing his thing. But I just think from what I heard from this match, I heard they was doing everything. It was pretty good. Ziggler versus Corbin. I was a little surprised that Ziggler won. I thought they would go with Corbin winning this match to, you know, to continue validating and building up the rookie. But at the same time, we could also easily see the company just going in a different direction with this match and just saying, you know what, Ziggler is getting the win here. Corbin, we made you look pretty strong over the last few weeks, so why not give it to Ziggler? And you know what, though? And that's fine, too. I think, and that's something that I've always said about the company that the company really needs to work on. It's the fact that they need to be able to build guys from any situation that they're in. You know, it shouldn't just be, well, this situation is the only way we could build a certain guy. Like, you know, there was a time in WWE history, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression Era, probably in the 80s as well, in which guys can take a loss and be fine because the creative was doing their job. It's not like that now. It's like, oh my goodness, this person lost, suddenly he's buried, he or she's buried, or he or she lost momentum. And it shouldn't be like that. It should be okay, even if you lose, you're still fine and you still have big things ahead of you. So I'm hoping that's still the case with Baron Corbin. You know, I think this is a guy who, I'm not going to be like, oh man, you know, he could be like Kevin Owens and stuff, and you could instantly put him in the title picture for something. But I do think, though, that as the summer progresses and the fall season arrives, he should be getting some more TV time, and he should be, you know, be in some recognizable programs. I really think so. I really do. Now, when we look at the main card, the first match of the main card was the tag team match, basically the final round of the tag team tournament that was going to determine who was going to be the number one contender to face the New Day. Hopefully that's at Extreme Rules. That will be at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view 3 weeks from tonight at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. I will be in the building. I think Graham and RJ will be in the building as well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this match was unfortunately cut short for real because Enzo Amore suffered a serious injury during the match. He basically suffered a bad concussion. You know, I think it came from Simon throwing him into the ropes and him basically hitting those ropes hard and suffering whiplash from after he hit the ropes hard with his head. Whiplash on the mat really hard, and then he fell again hard outside of the ring, basically. I'm probably describing it really badly, but either way, it was a terrible sight. It wasn't a work. You know, it wasn't a part of, oh, man, this is something we're going to do to set up a, you know, a match down the line. This was legit. You know, the referee had to call the match for real, and the WWE gave us medical updates, multiple medical updates on Enzo Amore throughout the night. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, one time he's in the hospital. No, they gave us multiple updates over the night about his condition, him talking, him being able to move his extremities and things like that. And it sucked too, man. It just sucked that this had to happen to a match like this. Because you're talking about the two new tag teams in the company, you know, Enzo and Big Cass and the Valor. I don't know how to pronounce them. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to call them the villains. Those two have big potential. They did their thing in NXT. They've brought some joy and some excitement to the WWE Tag Team Division. So what could have been a pretty solid match at least was cut short because of Enzo's unfortunate injury. But I hope that they could find a way to finish this. I mean, I do believe that instead of moving the villains on from them, I do think in a way, if it can't be versus Enzo and Cass because of Enzo's injury, it just needs to be something that can validate the villains, you know, because I honestly think if the match would have played out, I think the villains would have won because they need to have their big match right now. Plus Enzo and Cass with the momentum they have and their repertoire with the crowd and how much the crowd supports them, you know they're going to be in line for a run at the tag team titles within a few months. Like, it's going to be there. Like, but it's easy. Oh, man, I'm so sorry for the yawn. But it's just much easier to give the damn it, man, I don't know how to freaking pronounce their names as much. What in the hell is wrong with me? The villains, I'm just going to call them the villains, the first crack at the tag titles this early in their careers. But I do believe that they need a couple matches before you really throw them in the ring with the New Day. But Enzo, I hope you recover, and I hope that Enzo and Cass can continue their big-time momentum. The match following that was Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. The ending of a rivalry, I guess, was the, you know, the plot line to this, you know, ending of a rivalry, things of that nature. And those two put on one heck of a match. I mean, bravo to those guys. Definitely a match of the year candidate. It's not a surprise that they did because, you know, Kevin Owens been doing his thing since he debuted. Sami Zayn been doing his thing. But there's always a but. I think the biggest thing is always the fact that you look at it like, okay, these two supposed to end their rivalry. How do you go on from either of them? Like, how? I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, all right, regardless of who wins, regardless of who loses, how do you build off that and get them into the next program? And I thought it was very interesting what they did following this match because Kevin Owens won. It's a very physical match, a lot of great spots. Again, very physical. But in what was the Intercontinental Championship match between The Miz and Cesaro, which too was a pretty good match. You know, I think it was definitely a pretty good match, more so because of Cesaro's athletic ability, and the company finally got it right with Cesaro. I mean, that's all I have to say. I'm very happy. The company finally got it right with Cesaro. You know, he has a look. He always had the crowd behind him, but he really has a look behind him this time, and I feel like that's a beautiful thing because the guy can get people behind him. I mean, it's really not hard, man. I know we want to make it seem like it's hard, but not really. You know, there's people out there that will really support this guy. So I just feel as if it's all about what they do. But the reason why I brought this match up following Owens and Zayn is because Owens, after winning the match, again, a very good match, he cuts this great promo in which it was him and Brian Saxton in the ring. He's telling Saxton, come on, man, ask me some questions about beating Sami Zayn. And Brian's acting all scared and stuff, acting like a little punk. And Owens is just making magic on the mic. And then Saxton tells him, hey, man, we're going to have the Intercontinental Championship match next. This is after Owens declared that he was going to go after the title again. He goes, you know what, I'm going to do a commentary with you guys and watch. Now, Owens and Zayn tie into Cesaro and The Miz because Cesaro is having a great match. I shouldn't say great match with The Miz. He's having, if anything, if I say great, he's having a great performance. He's having a great performance versus The Miz. And basically at the end of the match, he does one move, I think it's uppercut or the swing, and then he locks on the cripple crossface. The cripple crossface on The Miz, and The Miz taps out. But Owens, as he was doing commentary, gets attacked by Sami Zayn. So those two are fighting all over the outside of the ring to the point where they actually end up fighting on the apron. They're fighting on the apron. The referee has to see it. He has to break it up. And him trying to break it up, Cesaro has The Miz in the crossface. Miz is tapping. Cesaro looks over. What happens is, you could probably put it all things together right now. Cesaro breaks it up, but The Miz comes behind him, rolls him up, 1, 2, 3, The Miz retain. Then Owens and Zayn get in the ring, fight some more. Cesaro gets involved, he gets knocked down, Miz gets knocked down. Owens is left holding the championship. So that means, for damn sure, at Extreme Rules, which once again I will be at, and I will brag about it until you get annoyed of it, Extreme Rules, we should get a Fatal 4-Way for the title. And that's going to be lit. I mean, a Fatal 4-Way for the title, bro. Fatal 4-Way for the title. We talking The Miz. We talking Cesaro. We talking Kevin Owens. We talking Sami Zayn. That is just the most logical thing to do right now. You have to. If all four of them are involved in the IC title match tonight, then why not have all four involved at Extreme Rules? You just have to. You just have to. It just makes a ton of sense. Nothing more, nothing less. Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, excuse me if I get this wrong. I think the next match following that was either Ambrose versus Jericho or Charlotte versus Natalie. If I had to guess, I'm going to go Charlotte versus Natalie, even though I'm really not sure. But all well, you have to take chances in life. This is for the WWE Women's Championship. The new women's belt really looks good, by the way. I think I've already said it before, but it looks really, really good. I'm very happy for the ladies. And the only interesting thing from this match was the fact that, okay, Charlotte didn't only have Ric Flair in her corner. It was also the fact that Natalie also had Bret Hart, that's right, the Hitman, in her corner as to be an equal to freaking Ric Flair. These two ladies, I know the Sasha Banks fans out there are not going to be happy. I know the Becky fans aren't going to be happy, the Becky Lynch fans, of course. But I thought those two ladies put on a pretty solid match. Like, we're at a point with women's wrestling that we know we're going to get matches, like, you know, well-executed matches, matches that catch your eye. And I think over the last few weeks, watching these ladies like Charlotte, like Sasha, like Becky Lynch, like Natalie, And even when Paige could get in there, I actually watch these girls wrestle, and I'm very, very impressed by their psychology in the ring, by how they do their thing, and I don't find myself going, hey, I want to turn the channel. I find myself now just wanting to watch a women's match because I know the wrestling is going to be up to par, along with their talking skills on the mic. But I felt like this match was pretty solid. I thought that they did their thing. I thought they told a good story. I thought the spots were there. I think the only thing that was pretty crappy was the finish. Apparently, this is when my stream is acting up with the WWE Network, so I really wasn't able to really see the whole finish in its entirety. I just know from Twitter and from what the commentary crew was referring to after the match was over was screw job. So I could only imagine Natalie has Charlotte in the sharpshooter or Charlotte has Natalie in the figure eight or the sharpshooter, and basically Ric Flair tells the bellkeeper to ring the bell. I could basically see that happening. And the next part I was able to see, which was Natalie and Bret Hart executing a double sharpshooter on Charlotte and Rick. Bret locking it in on Rick, Natalie on Charlotte. The ending was pretty corny. I agree with everybody that says that. The ending was pretty corny, but I just think it was a pretty solid match. It really was, and women's wrestling is continuing to take a nice little step forward, and I like it. Congratulations, ladies. I can't wait to see Sasha perform, though. I would love to see Sasha perform at Extreme Rules unless she's injured. And if that's the case, that sucks, but she needs to be healthy for the summer season. Now, Ambrose and Jericho. I referred that. This match really, you know, this match, this program really came out of nowhere, man. This was like a post-WrestleMania thing. Jericho finished his rivalry up with Styles. He got the dub. Ambrose loses to Lesnar at Mania. So these two battle over a talk show. That was basically the premise of the rivalry, talk show rivalry. Like, oh, man, like, Ambrose, you taking my spot, no more highlight reel. Now they have the Ambrose Asylum, and it was just back and forth over the TV show and the set. And this match, I thought, could have been much better. You know, I mean, of course, physical, of course, some good spots. But I thought the pace of the match could have been better. I thought the execution of certain moves could have been better. And I just think, too, when you look at this match, it's like, all right, after who wins and who loses, how do you build these guys? And what do they really move on to next? You know, Ambrose won the match, you know, won the match clean with the Dirty Deeds. And it's like, okay, with Ambrose, what's next? The Intercontinental Championship's definitely not an option. I mean, I doubt the WWE title is going to be an option, especially this early. I mean, Styles and Reigns, basically, it was confirmed in the final moment of Payback, which I will discuss because of the big segment involving Stephanie, Shane, and Vince. It was basically confirmed that, you know, Reigns and Styles, they're going to have their rematch at Extreme Rules for the title. So it's just a matter of, okay, what is going to happen with Ambrose? Who knows? Maybe Ambrose and Jericho continue their program for another month. I just don't see how good that is, but that could be a serious option. But Ambrose won. Not surprising. Again, Jericho's at the point where, yes, you could give him a double two here and there, but it has to make sense. But he's really just there now to put guys over and do a good job wrestling and, heck, do a great job talking on the mic because the guy's still a great talker. He gets better every time. But I thought this match could have been better, though. I mean, it was a good match, but I thought it could have been better. Not necessarily, oh, excellent, five-star, but, you know, well, it could have been a little better. You know, I'm not going to nitpick at it. The segment that I was talking about, again, Shane, Stephanie, and Vince. This segment was before the main event of the night, which was the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match between Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. This segment was basically all about who was Vince going to pick to run Monday Night Raw. You know, and prior to this announcement, Chicago was about to hijack the freaking segment. They was about to hijack and ruin that segment about, you know, because they was doing CM Punk chants. And it was really getting after Vince. And Vince, of course, tried to embrace it and turn it back on those fans. Like, come on, man, be louder. Come on, do this, that, and the third. And Stephanie and Shane were in the ring. It was really about those two arguing their points. Stephanie was arguing her points about why, you know, herself and, of course, the authority should run Raw. And Shane was basically talking about all the good news that he was getting and everything that surrounded him over the last 4 weeks. And to be honest, I was hoping really just for Shane to be granted to run Raw and have a brand split. I am so ready for the brand split. I'm so ready to see the draft again. I really am. But what happened was Vince decided that Shane and Stephanie both will run Raw. And at this point, again, folks like me will love to see the brand split in the draft. But I think realistically speaking, considering who we're talking about here, I think the biggest thing that can happen is Shane and Stephanie turn heel on Vince, right? For me personally, I've seen another option out there, but I think I could easily see it as Shane and Stephanie turning heel, getting together like they did during the WCW, ECW Alliance days, turning on Vince. Who knows, maybe even them turning on Triple H as well, so it could be like Stephanie and Shane versus Vince and Triple H, and that could be a program going all over the summer. The other option I saw, which I think would be very typical, would be like Stephanie and Shane running Raw. Instead of having it be like Big Brother or whatever, brother-sister rivalry, battling and arguing all the time, I could easily see it being Shane and Stephanie, quote-unquote, getting along fine, Stephanie really letting Shane do whatever, and then maybe just getting Shane beat the hell out of, you know, by Triple H or whoever, and then you could set up a couple of Shane matches over the summer. I could see it. I personally wouldn't want to see it. I would rather just see the brand split in the draft. But again, when you look at the WWE and then you think about how they conduct their business, the option I just laid out really was Stephanie jumping Shane and Stephanie being fine with Shane's moves or whatever, I think that is most likely considering the company that we're talking about here. Not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying, like, you know, that's probably the likely option, okay? Now let's talk about the main events of the night. Reigns, Styles, WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Chicago crowd was definitely behind Styles. Definitely kept booing Reigns. Not a surprise. I thought the match was pretty good. I thought they had a really good match. But, and this is when creative at times could get in their bag and really try to pull off some risky stuff. They, on this night, included two false finishes in that mug. And when I tell you it could have been risky, trust me when I said it could have been risky, bro. It's just real talk. Like, for one, when you have the first false finish be Roman Reigns being counted out because AJ Styles couldn't throw him back in the ring, ooh, that is risky. Then when you have the second finish be apparently Roman Reigns disqualified himself because he low-blowed, quote-unquote, over-low-blowed AJ Styles when AJ Styles was jumping off the top rope and he punched him, ooh, you were risky, bro. You were being risky. You were being risky, man. You could lose the crowd. You could really lose the crowd. You could really lose the crowd. But to their credit, they didn't lose us. We was even more intrigued because every time we had a false finish, Stephanie and Shane came out. After the first finish, Shane came out and said, okay, restarting the match, no countouts. Second false finish happened. Stephanie comes out and says, you know what? We're not going to have this. Restart the match again. No DQ. Okay, so, okay, it's like, all right, now let's see what's going on. And then Anderson and Gallows come out. They do their thing, beat up Reigns, and then the Usos come out, and they're fighting Anderson and Gallows, and then Reigns pull off this great spot, him jumping over the rope onto Gallows and the Usos, and then AJ Styles with his forearm, and those two have a nice little exchange, and they're battling in the ring, pulling off some great moves, and then it ends with Reigns sitting in the spear, I think in the middle of Styles trying to do his forearm clash, and he gets the count. Definitely not surprised that Reigns retains, but I will admit, there were certain parts of that match, especially in the final 10 minutes, I'm thinking, oh, man, Reigns might drop it. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking, man, Reigns might drop it. And then part of me was like, nah, man, he's not going to drop it. No way, Jose. You know, even though it feels like he could. But I just think with this match, these are the type of matches that could help Reigns start getting respect and credibility. I'm at the point where it's like, I'm not going to talk about and plan over Reigns being over. It's just not going to happen at this point. He's not going to be over for the foreseeable future. But I think if you're trying to get him credibility, it's matches like tonight. You know, it's matches that could happen down the line, you know, with a Cena, with Rollins, with whoever, you know, that could help him build credibility and make him, you know, a bigger star in this league, not in this league, in this company, you know. I just think that's really what it is. And it was a really good match. It really was. I think for AJ, I thought it was smart, you know, because that segment that I was talking about with the McMahon family basically continued in the end of the show. Because then you see all three of them, Vince, Shane, and Stephanie in the back. They're looking at the TV talking about the main event and stuff. And basically, Stephanie, I think, was talking about maybe tomorrow night the rematch or whatever the case was. And then Shane was like, no, like, they should have a rematch at Extreme Rules in that type of setting. And then Stephanie was like, yeah, I agree. Again, definitely something to look to, because it wasn't like a genuine agree. It was like a, yeah, I'll agree with you for now, even though I'm plotting on you and I'm going to beat you up and take my spot back. It was kind of like that. But I'm excited because, like I said before, I'm going to be at Extreme Rules. So I can't wait to see Reigns, AJ Styles. But to wrap up my thoughts on the show, I thought the show was a good show. I'll give it a B+. I thought it was a good show. I got through it. I paid attention. And, of course, I think the biggest thing for me was seeing the fact that certain things that happened tonight led to something down the road. So, again, Owens and Zayn / Cesaro and Miz basically leads to a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental Championship. That's cool with me. You know, seeing Owens and Styles tonight battle means we're going to get a rematch at Extreme Rules. Now I need to know what's going to happen with, you know, the Valiants and Enzo and Cass. That's what I want to know. That's really my biggest thing, and I want to see how that's handled and dealt with. But other than that, I felt like the show was pretty good. I felt like things were set up properly so that when the company does move on, they can move on and do it. But other than that, that's the post show. Thank you for listening. I really do appreciate it for 2016 WWE Payback. My next post show will actually be different. My next post show won't be on the night of, because, again, Extreme Rules, I'm going to be there. So there's really no way for me to do a live post show that night, especially when I'm traveling back home from Jersey and everything that comes with that type of travel. So there's no way I'm going to be able to do it. So I'll be able to do the live post show, if you're with me, on Monday. I got to find a time on Monday, maybe Monday afternoon, maybe Monday morning, maybe Monday night. But Monday Night Raw is on, so I definitely got to do it either Monday morning or Monday afternoon. But that's when I'll be doing the post show. But other than that, I really don't have nothing else to share with you guys. Thank you for tuning in as usual. Again, those are my thoughts on 2016 WWE Payback. Like I said before, I thought it was a good show, good matches, definitely some things set up for down the line, definitely a thing or two that we need to know what is going to happen from it. But, hey, as a WWE fan, you really can't complain. You really can't complain. I'll talk to you guys when I find out what I'm going to do with the post show regarding Extreme Rules. But I do know one thing. I will be in the building. You got damn right about that, Shawty. Enzo, feel better, all right? I'll talk to you guys next time. Eee.